Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Another beautiful day. So happy to be here with you around the holidays. The holidays, yes. I'm going to do a show today on the power of touch. I'm going to break it down into the science and into the art. And the reason I've chosen today is because the Thanksgiving holiday began the holidays, and as a doctor, what you notice around the holidays is everybody has that little look on their face more than any other time during the year, and it says, do you love me? And it might even say, I feel like I'm a little bit more alone than I wish I was. And you got to hear that from people, because in the end, underneath it all, it's the way you look at you and just the relationships you have in your life that drive a healing. From the time you're in the womb to the time you pass to the other phase, there's always that little part of you that wonders, are you really, really loved? And the thing about touch is, it begins in the womb. It begins in conception. When you're floating around in there during those 9 months, you're picking up. Doctors study this, that the fetus in the womb is listening to the vibration and the song of the mommy and the daddy. And everything the mommy's thinking is a vibration that hits the baby. So right in there, when you're floating away those 9 months, your nervous system, your sense of you, your esteem, your desire to thrive in the world, your joy for life, you're already developing that from day one. Doctors watch that. Because people walk in, and just how much of that they have, and just how much of that joy for life has been supported from the day they were born, is something that a doctor's going to be very, very sensitive to. It's funny, around the holidays, this comes out more than ever. This is one of the most likely times during the year when your patients fight with you. Because in some way, shape, or form, something you did or said, it didn't rub them the right way. And what they're really saying is, you know, before I go on in this healing relationship, I have to make sure that you care. Now, they don't say that, but if you're 10 minutes late, they might show that. Or if there's some mistake with the bill. Or if they have to cancel and they're told that, well, you can't really cancel on the doctor at the last minute. There's a lot of little things that come that way around the holiday. Everybody gets edgy for that reason. And yet, isn't this the truth? There's this other side to the holidays that's so just loving, and the best of people come out. So it's this two-sided coin. Now, love and touch are synonymous with each other, whether we like to admit it or not, whether it's a handshake or a hug. From the time we're in mommy's belly, those 9 months, those languages, right? Those languages up till 2 years old are what? Preverbal. How does the child know the child's loved? And we've done all those studies. Years ago, there was a famous study that showed that if you don't touch a child or you don't touch an animal, the animal will get sick. And we've backed that up so many times in so many ways. Touch is science. And yet it's so rooted in just common sense that we don't think of it in terms of science. So here's this child in the womb, and mommy's talking, but they're not having what we call the normal adult conversation. But that child's feeling everything. Its consciousness is developing. And when it comes out and you lift it up to God and you're joyful, it doesn't understand consciously, in a sense, what you're saying, but it understands everything. And we all know that. Now, this, whatever quality you want to call that, this intelligence, this pre-verbal intelligence, is what you bring to your doctor when you have an illness. The amount of it that you have left within you, the amount of consciousness or ability to connect to why you're here, and are you loved, and are you happy to celebrate that in relationship with others, is what you bring to your doctor. And the more of it you bring, the faster you heal. That's fascinating to me. Now, there's a relationship between what you bring to the doctor, this sense of love, and your organ systems, and the word stress. And somewhere along the line, in the normal course of socialization, of we grow up into adults, the body starts to split off into two bodies. The body that remembered what it was like to be completely and totally enamored in the love feeling in those early years, and those hits it takes. And another part of the human organism begins to grow. We call that the defense. So there's the part that grows to defend the core. There's a part that grows to defend the core. So the innocent, completely loving, completely bathed in a sense of me, and it's for me, and it's about me, and the world is just one big fruit salad, bowl of cherries. That perception splits into, well, maybe it's not such a great place. Well, maybe I have to be careful that I have to defend myself. Well, maybe I wasn't really loved. And we call that the defense. Now, that defense to core is measured in the physiology of the organ. Yeah, that's the point of this show. It's one of the points. That defense to core, to that core feeling of love, is measured in the physiology of the organ. And when too much of that defense takes over, we call that sympathetic dominant. Sympathetic dominant, as opposed to when the core of you, when the baby in you prevails through your organ systems, we call that parasympathetic dominant. Sympathetic, parasympathetic. It refers to two divisions of the nervous system. So to every organ goes angel hair pasta. We call those the nerves. And these two divisions of nerves, sympathetic and parasympathetic, deliver current to the organ systems, to every cell in the body. And when the body is encased in sympathetic dominance, meaning defense, meaning I'm going to go out there today and I got to protect myself and defend myself and go out and fight hard and win and bring home the bacon so the family can prosper. When we think in those modes all day long, even lingering into the evening when we sleep, meaning when we stay in sympathetic dominance and don't learn to chill, to relax, your organs in sympathetic dominance are constricting. They're not in the molecular bio of the cell, they're not repairing, they're putting out, they're putting out, they're putting out, they're not repairing, repairing, repairing. And the sympathetic dominant person burns out their organ function. Now, the guy that understood this better than anyway was Hans Selye in the book Stress of Life. And I've mentioned this before, my second or third show on stress and inflammation, but we're going to take this to touch today. But Hans Selye really understood this, and he introduced to the world in the 50s. I mean, this guy was a king. This was a famous scientist. And he taught us, if we don't chill, if we don't move out of sympathetic dominance and back into that baby feeling, look at your kids. Remember your kids when they were that young, you know? Lots of parents call that the honeymoon years, right? those first 2, 3, 4 years before things got crazy. But those early years where you looked at your baby and your baby looked at you, there was nothing there but celebration. There was no hardship in that relationship. And that's such an important stage. And contrary to people thinking, it begins on day one when you're born. No, it begins on second one, microsecond one, when you're developing the first cell of your body, when sperm meets egg, when creation begins. So we've got parasympathetic and sympathetic dominance. We've got flow to the organ. What flow? Nerve flow through parasympathetic fibers. If you open up a body and you do dissection and you go in there, you could put your finger on wires to your organ systems. And those wires will be sympathetic or parasympathetic. This is a very real thing. And Cellier was talking about this. Now, we're going to relate this to massage. What does massage have to do with this? Well, you already know massage gets you to relax into a parasympathetic dominant state. That's one of the key powers of touch. And in some indirect or direct sense, this relates to the language of love. Does the person doing the touching care? Or are they looking to make a quick buck? Are you just a machine, one of the herd? Or is this a moment to celebrate? And this is part of what drives the art of touch. That drives the relaxation response. That drives parasympathetic dominance. But that's not the only thing that massage does. Massage is also going to do two other key things without which you don't go parasympathetic dominant. You don't open the flow of energy. One thing it does is it clears adhesions, which is a form of an interference field. And the guy that really put this to science, and again, the thing I love, I hope you love about the show, is anything we talk about from energy flow to parasympathetic dominance to adhesion to anything I say on the show, I always give the books. I always give the scientists behind the book. And I just bring this to you in celebration to the fact that there are people that give their lives to studying things in black and white ways that publish, and their books collect dust on the shelf. So on my website, that's straighttalk.cc, straighttalk.cc, which I hope you check out. Even if you don't stream the show, get to the website anyway, and hopefully you do stream the show. If you get to the homepage on the website, straighttalk.cc, you press a button, you can hear K-Bright so clearly on that, so there's no radio static. And I'm starting the Medici Library. I'll have that up this week. Yes, I will. And the Medici Library are going to be compilations of books, books that you can't buy in Borders, books that you don't see at Barnes & Noble, books that you're never even going to know exist, books written on very specific topics by scientists with great credentials. And their stuff just collects dust and no one hears about them. And yet their perceptions, their paradigms are life-changing. And one book that really gets into this thing about adhesion is a guy by the name of Alfred Pissinger, P as in Paul. And again, these books are attached to my website, so they'll be there sometime after the show today. There's a book by a guy named Alfred, P as in Paul, I-S-C-H-I-N-G-E-R, Alfred Pissinger, The Extracellular Ground Matrix, The Extracellular Matrix and Ground Regulation, Basis for a Holistic Biological Medicine. Alfred Pissinger, The Extracellular Matrix and Ground Regulation. Again, a scientist. Again, he earned his MD at the University of Graz in Austria in 1923. He continued his medical work at the Department of Histology and Embryology at Graz and became chairman and professor of the department in 1933. In 1958, he became head of the Department of Histology in the University of Vienna, where he remained until he retired in 1970, so on and so forth. Heavy credentials. What's he saying? He's saying that this electrical field that flows through the all-essential parasympathetic fibers ignite the chemistry of the cell. And adhesions, if the ground matrix, if the tissue outside the cell, in between the cells, which is filled with fascia, F-A-S-C-H-I-A, fascia. You know what fascia is. That's the gristle. When you lift off the skin of the chicken, on the muscles is this shiny sort of web. And you can even peel it off. It's very thin. It's transparent. That's fascia. And if you take those little pieces of chicken apart, in between each piece of chicken is this gooey sort of jelly, saran wrap-like substance. That's fascia. Every single organ, every single cell of your body, my friends, is connected by this extracellular matrix we call fascia. Now, the body lays down adhesion in that zone. Adhesion created by a cell called a fibroblast. Adhesion by the deposition of fibrin into the tissue or around the tissue. So we have fibroblastic adhesive tissue, and we have fibrin. And these things are what your cells communicate through. Not the fibrin, but the fascia. But when the fascia scars, you have problems. You have a blockage to this flow of electricity. And so all this intercellular electrical communication that the parasympathetic nervous system delivers current through, it starts to drop up. In other words, your body just turns to glue. Not stretching, not cleansing, holding negative emotion, not opening up physical scars from physical damages like you hear Dr. Marshall talk about so often on the radio show, opening the interference fields. What that ultimately means is the electrical output of the body, it decreases. The field begins to shut down. And the energy doesn't flow. So you've got guys like Fritz Popp, biophysicist out of Germany, and he talks about the body as a coherent electromagnetic field. That's biophysics. Biophysics will dominate the biochemical model someday. We just haven't developed enough technologies that everybody agrees upon. We just have to get on the other side of the egos in science, the egos in medicine. And it's always been this way. The history of medicine is always this way. You have a new paradigm, a more powerful, truthful, honest thing. This is the same concept that occurred in the 1500s when we said, is the sun the center of the solar system? And Galileo said yes. And everybody said, well, now we cut off your head. Giordano Bruno, Tycho Brahe, the great minds of the 1500s or so, knew that we had this all backwards, that the earth was not the center of the world. And we just had to wait 100 or so years for everybody else that disagreed to die off. And then the young scientists took the truth to the top. And this is going to happen where we're going to see biophysical, energetic models supersede. They're going to dominate the biochemical paradigm. They already do. Cellier was just a forerunner. Pfeffinger was just a forerunner. But we have to talk to you, cutting edge. You guys are smart enough to listen to shows like this, and I applaud that. You know, I started my second class with the school last Sunday, November 20th. Bravo to all of you, all 40 of you that showed. It was wonderful. I got a chance to meet you. I got a chance to meet a lot of this wonderful audience. So many humble, intelligent, honest people. Just beautiful and interested. People from 20 to 80 interested in these topics. Just a beautiful thing. And doing it in a very cost-effective manner, which is why I started the school. We're going to do another class on January 8th. I've got about 15, 20 slots open. I've got half the class filled. That'll be January 8th, Sunday from 12 to 5. It gives you enough time to pray, to go to your church, and then to get to the center there in Santa Monica. And we'll do the same thing we did last time, only even better. Just beautiful to hear so many people starting to understand what health is really about. So one thing it's really about is shifting your body from sympathetic to parasympathetic states, like your little babies do. And then taking that and allowing the electrical frequency, the wavelength frequency, off the spinal cord to bathe the cells, to organize your chemistry. Those herbs that you ingest, that you spend your good hard-earned money on, do not know what to do unless they're given electrical signals. They don't know what to do. They get confused. They won't even get into your blood. You can shut the whole nutritional experience down if you're in a sympathetic dominant state. Yes, stress kills. Well, we know that. We know that. But now you get a chance to apply it. So from Hans Selye, Stress of Life, to Pissinger's book, The Extracellular Ground Matrix, we start to understand the way the cell really, really regenerates itself. Now, massage. What does this have to do with opening up the ground matrix? Well, massage is the art through which your chosen therapist, someone you have a good rapport with, and that may be trial and error. I mentioned the name Carlo Petrini, 310-430-3268. He's a nationally certified massage therapist of tremendous skill. But if not him, find your own. And whatever, you have to have that relationship, that rapport. And if they know what they're doing with their hands, they're going to gently, but in a powerful way, go in to start to cross-fiber the tissue to the bone. There are layers of muscle, my friends, layers of muscle. The back has 5 layers of muscle to the bone. The legs have layers of muscle to the bone. And it is on the bone that the electrical field of the body seeks its most powerful flow. But on the bone, we always have a hoard of adhesion. Massive amounts of adhesion through the muscular system occur at the bone. And to get there, you've got to have someone with enough skill in their hands to take the relationship to the bone over a period of sessions. And as they go to the bone through cross-fiber work, in skillful but gentle ways, you begin to work out the adhesions. You break up the scar tissue. You break up the fibrin deposits. I always tell the massage community to use those magma packs and those med body packs, those wonderful gifts of clay that maintain the Earth's core resonance, to put them on the body to aid in this process. But in the end, very often, there's a critical, physical, mechanical process. So as you lengthen muscle in a flexibility way, then you get someone to go in and cross-fiber from head to toe, every inch of your body, with gentle, caring hands and deep to the bone. And as you work out the fibrin deposition, as you work out the scar tissue, the fibroblastic growth of scar tissue from trauma, well, let's just break here and define trauma. Trauma doesn't have to be a surgery. It doesn't have to be a car accident. Trauma can be as simple as 60, 70 years of life, getting up and moving boxes, working out, your football years where you were never really hurt, but you took your lumps like everybody else. Trauma, adhesion in the tissue, we all have. No one doesn't have trauma to the tissue. So don't limit this thing about scar tissue to, well, I've never been in an accident, and I don't have any surgeries, and so I don't have any scar tissue. This is nonsense. This is a myth. This is delusional. Don't think that way. This is as much a part of what everyone should do as flushing your gallbladder. Having the entire body through the cross-fiber experience. And no one understood this better in the history of it, than Ida Rolf. Ida Rolf, another heavyweight. You've heard of Rolfing, and you might have heard, unfortunately, that Rolfing is painful. Well, if you heard it's painful, then you only heard it's painful. If it's done right, it's not supposed to be painful. Ida Rolf wasn't inflicting pain on people. She was inflicting years of skill. Again, a scientist. Received her Ph.D. in biochemistry from Columbia in 1920. She worked in the Rockefeller Institute in the Department of Organic Chemistry. She came upon the idea of Rolfing, or structural integration, during her search for solutions to family health problems. Finding available methods of treatment inadequate, she began drawing on her extensive knowledge of Hatha Yoga. Again, the word yoga, not religious. This has nothing to do with religion. No occult slant whatsoever. This is a scientist. I believe she was Presbyterian. This is the 1920s. And she's extending her knowledge into understanding the physical yoga to investigate the effect of structure on function. Structure on function, meaning work out the adhesions, align the body segments, and watch the function of the organ system improve itself. Again, another scientist, and you'll see her credit, her book, Rolfing in Physical Reality, on the website, straighttalk.cc. Get the book. Read it. It's a bunch of vignettes about her life. She died, I think she's 84, 85 years old, a number of years ago. All these little paragraphs of insight into the human mechanism, all along the lines of what Pissinger is trying to say. Through the technique of massage, Rolfing, Rolf is saying, go into the tissue, cross-fiber to the bone, and take out these adhesions in the extracellular matrix, so that you can shift into the, what, baby state, into the state of bliss, into the state where you get up off the table and you feel all that god-awful stress get out of your body. There you go. Now, Rolf had an idea under the word biomechanics. So I'm going to introduce another term, and you've heard it before. But you can never hear this term enough. And the biomechanical shift that massage can give you. So again, massage can put you in parasympathetic states, deeply relaxed states, while they cross fiber to the bone and clear adhesion. And then you align body segments. You align body segments. In other words, you alter your biomechanics. And, of course, this all revolved around her work, where she would lengthen tissue by breaking up scars, by stretching that tissue, so the bones would stack up correctly, so the posture would shift. Not in a forceful, deliberate way, but the body's shape would change. The shape would change. I spent years in massage. I've changed postures permanently many, many, many times. And that means the biomechanics has shifted. The position of your bones shifts, but what eludes people, what they don't understand, is that when your bones shift positions, your organs internally shift positions. You can't clear the adhesions if you don't shift the position of the organs. It's very difficult to clear adhesions when organs are squashed on each other because the spine, the skeletal system, is so altered in the wrong direction. When you're hunched, when you're torqued, when you're twisted in the spine, the organs hunch and twist and torque. It's very difficult sometimes to clear the adhesion out of an organ relationship when the alignment hasn't been altered. So you see, you got to put it together. To get into that parasympathetic flow, you've got to clear adhesion, and we all have adhesion. And to do that, you've got to align body segments. Now, with that process, something else happens. So you're seeing the span of massage here. Out of sympathetic dominance, clearing adhesions, aligning body segments. And last but not least, perhaps most importantly, releasing emotion. Because is a part of everybody that at certain times, more than less, doesn't feel loved. And we hold those emotions in there. That response to not feeling loved makes us angry. It makes us sad. It makes us afraid. It leaves us grieving. and we hold those emotions in the tissue. No one understood this better than Wilhelm Reich. Dr. Reich, he was a psychiatrist in the 1920s. And again, if you check the website, you'll see Reich's book, one of the books about Wilhelm Reich. Medical doctor again, scientist again, pioneered biophysics, I think, before anybody did. And that's Wilhelm Reich, MD. There's a book on him, The Unhealed Healer, The Unhealed Healer, by Marvin Spiegelman, PhD. He's a psychoanalyst. Another book you can see in the Medici Library. Get the book. Find it. Read it. Between Rolf's book, Pissinger's book, and Reich's book, you have a real grip on a very important part of health. So in the holistic hospital, you've got one room to talk nutrition, one room to talk about the psyche and emotions. You've got one room to talk about how to stretch and strengthen. That's the holistic hospital of tomorrow. That's the health center of tomorrow. That's what we're building down in Santa Monica at the Premier Center. Something that allows you, the listener, to integrate your perception, to navigate your ship in the direction of healthful bliss. Now, Reich understood more than anybody that different body segments hold even different emotions. Up there around the liver, you hold your anger. Down there around the kidney, you hold your fear. Up there around your heart, you hold your sadness. Up there around your lung, you hold your grief. Grief is just sustained sadness. And if you have enough of one versus the other, the body will change shape. The body's posture will change shape in response to the emotion. So from the time you're little, if you grow up, if you evolve in the world feeling sad because whatever reason makes you sad, you may collapse in the heart area. Your posture may become kyphotic. Your shoulders may slouch. If no one listened to you at the breakfast or dinner table because you were the baby of the family, and babies have trouble being listened to because the adults do the talking, well, maybe your head starts to slouch forward because no one listens to what comes out of your throat. Maybe if you were picked on as a kid, you know, years before we had laws in school about being bullied, cracks me up. Some of you guys should have grown up in New York. Well, those laws, perhaps much needed to prevent kids from being bullied. Well, you know, those bullies are usually bullied. And those bullies walk around with their chests puffed out and their low back arched. You know that fight stance? Bouncers in pubs hold that stance when they stand out there in the front. It's that macho stance. There's another stance, a posture, that tells you what's going on in people's minds. So we have people slouched over at the chest. We have people hanging their heads. We have people arching their low back and standing there like macho men. We have people that walk around with contortions on their face that show their emotion. They wear their heart on their sleeve, we say. So we know people hold emotions in their body. So if you hold too much emotion in your body, you're going to be in sympathetic dominance. Your electrical fields won't flow that well. If you've had lots of surgeries and lots of physical accidents, you're going to have lots of adhesions in your body. If you haven't stretched and gotten flexible, your spine is going to start to curve. And if you put those three things together, you can see what controls the coherent field. Now, massage addresses all three. That's a little bit different than spa massage, isn't it? That's a little different than your concept of slapping on a little coconut oil and just kind of relaxing. These are more therapeutic perceptions of massage. I'm dedicating this show today to a good friend. He's not with us anymore. He was a student of mine, even though he was a full 20-something years older than me. His name was Chuck Feda. And before Chuck died, he passed away a few years ago. He had a dream to write a book. He did. That book is being launched on December 2nd. It's called Home Massage. Transforming Family Life Through the Healing Power of Touch by Chuck Fata and his partner, Susan Hodnett. Chuck Fata, F-A-T-A. He's going to launch this book. They're going to launch this book on December 2nd through Amazon. Very basic book. So even though I talk in a more complicated way, because you guys listen to the show regularly, and because you can hear the show again on the website, but this is a basic book. Chuck wanted to keep it basic. It's a beautiful basic book for the family to give moms and dads a sense of what touch really means, how important it is on so many levels. So it's a real easy read. Great book. I think it hits the spot for what it intended to hit the spot for. Endorsed by a lot of people. It launches December 2nd with it as a gift. And out of respect to Chuck, I'm going to offer a one-hour webinar. I'm starting my webinars now so we can go across the United States, into Europe, everywhere. And on this webinar, if you buy the book on Friday, December 2nd, you'll be not eligible. You automatically get on the list. I'm going to do a one-hour probably talk on some aspect of massage. I haven't decided yet. As a commemoration to Chuck and as a thank you for his influence in my life. So here's to you, my friend. I know you're listening. Best hands of anyone I'd ever known. Truly a gifted man. Okay. Now, touch. Touch affects those arenas. The sympathetic nervous system, it clears adhesions, it aligns body segments, and it releases emotion. Now, when you touch a body, you can break the body down into energy centers, so to speak, parts of the body. And again, now you're going to have to learn a little anatomy, and we'll attach that anatomy to the Medici Library. When you touch, there's different ways of going in. And one way of going in is to touch nerve points. Everything you hear about acupressure, acupuncture, is about touching the body on nerve points. Do you know the biggest expression of nerve tissue on the body? It's the human eye. Thus, iridology. Interesting slant, huh? The largest, most concentrated expression of nerve fiber, the eye. The eye is a direct extension of the brain via the optic nerve. The brain to the world is the eye. Now, you could say so for the ear, but the ear is encased. That's not nerve tissue on the surface. Getting to nerve tissue is done through touch by the points. The acupressure points. And the idea is if you press the point, if the point is going to respond in the parasympathetic direction, when you take your hand off the point, you feel a release. And that release feels like circulation. That release feels good. Your muscles lengthen. You feel like something got out of your body. So we can go in through the nerve points. Another way you break it down is through the fascial lines. So think of that piece of chicken. It's the easiest example when you peel the skin off. In between the chunks of meat is this connective tissue, this fascia. And when you touch a body through the person's skin, you can feel these cleavages. You can feel these lines between the muscles. And if your practitioner's skilled, he's going to press in between these lines all the way to the point of resistance. And then you and him or she, in a field of good relations, is going to press more deeply into those crevices between the muscles. Because in those crevices is the fascia. And through the fascia are the micronerves from brain, from spinal cord, right to the most superficial muscle of the body is a coherent communication system of nerve and fascia. So if the body were a dried sponge and you poured water on it until the sponge was soaked with water, wherever that water goes is where the nerves and the fascia goes. It's a great way to think about it. And when those nerves and the fascia start to get all gunked up with glue, you have to put the sponge through some process where if you squeeze it, all the dirt will come out of the sponge, and then you fill it with fresh water, and that's what therapeutic massage is actually trying to do. Now, how it gains entry might be through a nerve point. It might be through a fascial line. It might go to a part of your body. And there are specific parts on the body that hold emotions. And you might find yourself bawling on the table. You might find yourself screaming angrily. If you read these books, there are testimonies of people on the massage table. And the therapist is gently, calmly working into body sections. And all of a sudden, the patient pops up off the massage table with their fists clenched and they want to kill. And you're trained to understand these things in massage, in therapeutic massage. See, so this isn't spa massage. This isn't what you're used to. This is the stuff that heals, not that spa massage doesn't heal. But this is another level. You have to have real education to finesse these things with people. That's what these doctors were talking about. Rolf was a massage therapist. She just decided to take a PhD in biochemistry and pioneer things at the Rockefeller Institute in New York before she decided to go into massage. So this is an elevation of the art of touch. Reich was a medical doctor. Reich did psychoanalysis. Reich at some point in the 20s said, enough with talking to people. What am I talking to people for going around in circles when they're holding their psyche in their body? I've got to touch the body, Reich said. And Perakos followed, and Alexander Lowen followed, and Jack Painter followed. And there's hordes of psychosomatic body workers, a lot of body workers with MDs in psychiatry or psychology. Or massage therapists who study the human mind in formal trained segments. Now, underneath the nerve and underneath the muscle and underneath the psyche is a tissue that holds the tension from the day we're born, from before the day we're born. This is where what we call the core tension lives. And that's called the dural tissue. The dural tissue, D-U-R-A-L. And I don't have them up yet, but I'm going to attach pictures of the dura. Because you want relationship with dural tissue. You want to understand that even though you can't touch it from the outside, it determines what you call your core tension. And it gets tight. It loses its flexibility. It scars up as much, if not more, than any other part of your body. But you don't ever see it. And because you never see it, you don't have relationship with it. So the body's this mysterious place where as you journey into it, you find all these other dimensions articulating back and forth, controlling what you call you. And your job is to learn and to journey inside so you control it. So your dural tensions. In the common vernacular, in the behavior of massage, chiropractic, osteopathic manipulation, the reason there's been so much emphasis, if you've had discourse with a chiropractor or a cranial osteopath or a massage therapist, there's so much interest in the neck. The upper neck, the head sitting on the first cervical vertebra, the atlas. On top of that, the axis, occiput C1, C2. The upper cervical chiropractic adjustment, the upper cervical cranial manipulation. The reason there's so much emphasis on that is because that's the pathway, the best, most direct path to releasing adhesion within the dural tissue, the skin around the brain. The dural tissue is one of the meninges. You know that word, meningitis, viral or bacterial meningitis. What that meninges is composed largely of dural tissue. And when that dura is normal and healthy and not inflamed, well, we don't think about it, but it holds adhesion in it. It shortens to tension, emotional tension, chemical tension. Tension because you don't stretch. Tension because someone's in sympathetic dominance. And when that skin around the brain is tight enough, the body's field is shut. That's why so many people work into the upper cervicals. Stretch that neck to get that flow feeling, that circulation feeling. And if you do it deeply enough, you begin to unwind the dural tissue. You unwind it. And people will go into all sorts of, you know, wave-like motions on the table as the dural tissue unwinds. Cranial work, cranial osteopathy, they have a term. Cranial osteopathy, the turn of the century when D.D. Palmer out of Davenport, Iowa, launched chiropractic in 1895. You know that story. He adjusted a janitor, an African-American janitor named Harvey Lillard. And Harvey had a deaf ear. And Palmer was a magnetic healer. He believed magnets could help people heal. And he was playing around with Lillard's back, and he pressed into his thoracic spine, and there was this big crack. And Lillard stood up, and he had hearing. Now, that's a life changer. That's a life changer, and it changed Palmer's life. And 50 years later, Harry Truman's chiropractor was D.D. Palmer's son, B.J. Palmer. And then in the 60s, chiropractic got big enough and it was worth attacking. And lots of teachers that I studied with when I was in school, I graduated Cleveland Chiropractic Colleges in 1994. I was their class valedictorian. That was about 7,000 hours of 4 years of a lot of work. A lot of dissection. I've dissected about 100 bodies. Everyone should have that wonderful experience. Can't really learn it as well out of the pictures. In any event, chiropractic, by the time the 60s hit, it was under attack. And it was very rooted in enough good science. It used esoteric terms. Sometimes it overshot its claims. It made mistakes. Sometimes it boasted, I think, too much. But it was, for the most part, rooted in good science and good clinical results. By the 80s, it got itself to a place where it couldn't be touched. By the 90s, it launched itself with the real type of stability. And by the time I started school there in 1990, you were buried in the sciences. They buried you. Buried you in every form of science there was. From chiropractic to osteopaths, Andrew Still at the turn of the century, he felt that blood supply to the organ and the deficiency of it over years determined disease. While Palmer said nerve flow. They were both right, of course. They were both right. The neurovascular system is influenced by structural defect. The neuro, nerve flow, vascular blood flow system is deeply influenced by structural defect. And these guys understood it. So chiropractic launched one way and osteopathic launched another way. They were both holistic. They were both genius in their perception. They were both very, very tied in with other perceptions of health, from Reich's perception to Rolf's perception. So you have these kings, these heavyweights, these paradigm changers. And what this show is about, what I want you to understand, my audience, is to understand the genius of these people. As much as how so much of what they said has been slanted, twisted, misunderstood, the guy that starts it never teaches it, and we all know this, as well as he understood it. That's just the defect in human communication. So you've got all sorts of interpretations. The idea is to take the essence, the science, behind what these people had to offer and create a good synthesis for you so you know how to navigate yourself in the world. So osteopaths focused on blood flow. Chiropractors focused on nerve flow. Rolfers focused on the musculoskeletal system, not adjusting it, but working out adhesions. So you've got these holistic practitioners, they're trying to mold you. the fluid, coherent flow of energy when the baby's born is not the way the person is at 60 years old. So we water it with herbs, and then we mold it with flexibility training, toning, cross-fibering out adhesion. And in that process, the psyche begins to well up. When you let that stuff out, you feel better. And then you feel more of that circulation feeling through your body. So we have dural tissue. We have nerve tissue. Now, do the nerves connect to the dural tissue? Of course they do. Does the fascia connect to the nerves, connect to the dural tissue? Of course it does. As you shift your bones, your spatial orientations, does that reciprocate back to those tissues? You bet it does. So what's the body? The body is a musical composition. The body is the music. Its function is an expression, like music is an expression of the Philharmonic Orchestra. And everybody's got their role. From the quality of the musical instrument to the composition itself to the skill of the musician. And then the script, the composition. How do you string all this together? And then ultimately, who organizes it in the end? That being the maestro. And this is the concept that we're trying to give to you in medicine today. That the body's a field, but you have to learn to navigate using all these different aspects into a more coherent field. And you'll know it as you improve it. You'll feel it in your body. Now, scars. The reason we harp so much on scars is because if there's one thing above anything that knocks out the coherent field in the physical realm, something you can see, it's the scar. And the scar creates a place or a meeting, an intersection of congestion in the body to invite toxicity, to invite infection, to invite stagnant blood, to invite the buildup of acidic granules in the tissue. The adhesion will crystallize out of solution. Another term you constantly hear me harp on. It will crystallize out of solution anything it likes, because the adhesion is a place where things slow down. And once things slow down, you're going to get a concentration of, or you're going to get a dehydration in the space. So the scar is a place where the fluid communication of the body congests. And once it congests, it dehydrates. It's as if you build up molecules, and in the end, all these molecules stick to each other. And the molecule that's going to leave the congested site first is the water. And once it dehydrates enough, you build new bonds into this congested tissue. So now we get into the scar a little bit more deeply. The scar is the place then most likely to find itself amassing whatever you want to talk is in terms of toxicity. It's where the metals will build. It's where all the other chemical pesticide residues will build. It's even where the negative emotions will build. So now you have to understand a deeper level. Again, we're going deeper. The emotion will sit where the biomechanical block is. The biomechanical block will sit where the scar is. The scar, once it's there, will draw the toxin. So in the end, when you scan the body for an interference field, when you look for a physical scar, and even if you can't find one, if you haven't addressed the adhesions are attracting all of the other components of what blocks the body. So this is the thing about the adhesion that I think reigns very, very important, the interference field. It reigns very, very high in the prioritization, because once you have it, you can be assured you're going to draw all the other variables to it. Now, this elevates massage from spa massage to a whole other level. Then in massage, there's so many types of massage. You can look in the phone book, or you can get on internet, types of massage, there'll be hundreds. There's Thai massage, there's Swedish massage, there's Rolfing, there's Reiki, there's the Alexander technique, there's Feldenkrais, there's Heller work. There's hundreds of different perceptions. There's Maorian massage. There's so many different types. Thai massage, Tui Na, Shiatsu. But if you break the body down into its component parts, they're either hitting nerve points, they're either breaking up adhesions, they're either stretching the body, or they're either in ever-purging emotions. So furthermore, as much as there's so much out there, if you really understand what each type of therapy is trying to do, they're all, in a sense, doing the same thing. And that's how you move from a confused state to a calm state as you navigate. Understand, the body's made of fascia, it's made of adhesion, it's made of nerve, it's made of dural tissue, it's made of bone. And however, through whatever technique you get these things to align in the ways we're talking about, is the whole point. And if you do, you do, and if you don't, you don't. So when you're potpourri-ing, when you're moving across the diversified fields, when you're trying sports massage, and then you're trying shiatsu, and then you're trying Thai massage, so on and so forth, if you understand it in terms of the science behind it, then you'll understand how to make your choice. Now, sympathetic dominance. I hope you've got an insight into that now. The sympathetic dominant state, sympathetic dominant state controlled by all four of these variables: blood chemistry, scars, flexibility, and the psyche and the tissue. Those four things controlling sympathetic dominance is how we're going to understand the body in our future on the radio. And I'm going to teach you how each of these four variables, okay, controls your health. 888-777-0711. 888-777-0711. I'll be answering the phones today. If not today, I'll catch you Monday night. And if not, next week. Dr. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health. Have a great holiday. Ciao.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.